early on in my ministry, I learned a very valuable lesson. In one particular instance, a very distraught young man came to me, and he was really hurting about his situation with his wife. And he was so distraught. I'll never forget it. And so as he was talking to me, I kept praying and saying, God, what can I say to him? What advice can I give? But nothing came to my mind. And he kept talking and he kept talking. And all of a sudden he looked up and he said, you know, I know what to do. Now, friends, that really happened. Here's what I learned, especially in counseling, but it applies across the board. A good listener is the one that can help more people than someone who gives advice. And so today we're going to look at a story in the Bible. And the sermon title is, Listen What Jesus Says to Her. And let's listen and see the incredible teachings that Jesus gave to the woman at the well. Before we start, though, let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight and your sight alone. And Father in heaven, we pray for your presence during this sermon. And I ask that the meditations of my heart, of my mind, may be acceptable to you and you alone. And you would bless this endeavor so that we'll all draw closer to you and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the story. Of course, you know where it is, the woman at the well. It's found in John, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read, starting with verse 1, I'm going to read 1 through 7 first. And remember, we're going to listen and see what Jesus said to the woman. Okay, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but the disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground where Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being weary from the journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. What did Jesus say to her? Give me a drink. Friends, we've got to look at the setting of this so that you understand how incredible this is. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. They were not allowed to have any social interaction whatsoever. In fact, it wasn't right for a Jew to ask a favor of or even borrow from a Samaritan. And Jesus said, give me a drink. Now, I want to read, you just heard it read, the disciples had gone to Sychar to buy food. That was allowable. They needed provisions, and it's okay to do that. But the rest of this, no, no, no. And Jesus said, give me a drink. And so listen to what Jesus said to the woman. He said, I am not prejudiced. You see, the Jews were prejudiced against the Samaritans and vice versa. And Jesus, in his ministry, was constantly trying to break down barriers. And when he asked that of the woman, he showed us specifically that prejudice against any culture, race, or creed is not biblical. It's not according to heaven. Give me a drink. Well, let's continue the story and see what else Jesus said. We're going to start at verse number 9 where we left off. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters." Now you can see how startled this woman was. She was not only a Samaritan, by the way, I need to mention, she was a woman. You know, it was against the law in the Jewish culture to talk to a strange woman when you're alone. And Jesus is there all alone, and she's like, you asked me for a favor, and you're a Jew, and you have no dealings with us. Notice Jesus didn't answer her question. Notice what he said. He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters." Friends, listen to what Jesus said to the woman. And what do we learn from this? That Jesus treats all people equally. See, it didn't matter she was a woman. It didn't matter she was a Samaritan. What matters to Jesus is to offer the living water to everyone. And what a thought this is. Jesus treats everyone equally. In fact, I want to look at John 6, verse 37. Look what it says here. This just highlights this thought a little more. "All that my Father gives me will come to me, and no one who comes to me will by any means be cast out." And so, you know, I looked up that word cast out in the Greek. It means rejected. Nobody who comes to Jesus will be rejected. Even if you're the worst sinner in the world, even if you're of a culture, a race that's maligned and ridiculed and mocked, whoever comes to Jesus, he will in no wise cast out. And friends, we must help everyone in the world to know what kind of person Jesus is, so that they too can come to him without fear. Well, the story goes on. Let's take a look at verse 11 now. Verse 11, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock.'" Well, friends, you see, when the woman at the well looked at Jesus, all she saw was a tired and thirsty, dusty man. And he's talking to her about living water. And then she says, "Wait a minute, this is Jacob's well." That's one thing we pride ourselves in here, is we have the actual well that Jacob dug and that he gave to his son Joseph. Now, those are name droppers. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a big deal. And she's looking at him. But what did Jesus say to her? Look what he said to her. He said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Listen what Jesus said to the woman. I'm going to cut right to the quick. Here's what he said. I want you to have eternal life. That's what he said. Remember, the very first thing he said, if you would have asked me, I would have given it to you. In spite of the fact that you're a woman, in spite of the fact you're a Samaritan and Jews hate Samaritan, in spite of the fact we're not supposed to have any interaction, and in a second we're going to find out this woman had a bad reputation. And Jesus said, eternal life. I want you to have that water that wells up to eternal life. You see, Jesus wants everyone to be saved. That's the work of the church, to help people understand and know that. Oh, friends, I want you to think of the most famous, most quoted, and most believed text in all the favorite text in all the Bible. You know what that is. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever is everyone. Every, as the Bible says, nation, kindred, tongue, and people. See, we can't be prejudiced, or we shouldn't be prejudiced towards anyone. We need to treat each other equally. And by the way, that includes between us. We need to also practice, not just on the outside, but on the inside too. And finally, Jesus wants everyone to be saved, for God so loved the world. And that's why the Bible declares that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, friends, when we get to display in our lives and even from our mouths, the beauty of the character of God, he's not like the people of today, folks. He's not like what's going on today. He is different. And so we have a wonderful Savior. Look at what we're learning by listening what he said to the woman. Well, he's not done yet. We got to go to verse 15. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, Call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, Well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Oh, friends, listen to what Jesus said to the woman. It's incredible. He told her, go get your husband. You see, first of all, this lady had no name. Have you ever thought of that? Notice, it's not Sarah, not Susan, Rebecca. No. She's called the woman at the well. Why does she call the woman at the well? Because this is how Jesus interacts and thinks about all women, not just that one. And so he clearly said to her, go get your husband. And conviction became over her. At first she was embarrassed. But then she realized that this man is very patient, thoughtful, and loving. Go get your husband. She had a bad reputation. Why do you think she came to draw water at the hottest part of the day, noon, the sixth hour? Because she was ashamed, embarrassed, and ridiculed by all the townspeople for her terrible immorality. They looked down on her. But notice, not Jesus. He said, go get your husband. he wanted the conviction to come upon her. She saw that this man is just not a dusty, tired, thirsty stranger who's Jewish standing by the well. He wanted her to know something more fantastic, but I'm getting to that. And I want you to look at John 8:11. You all know the story of the woman caught in adultery. And they dragged her before Jesus, threw her on the ground, all disheveled and disheveled. Remember, they caught her in the very act. I even wonder if they gave her ample opportunity to get dressed. I doubt it. They dragged her out of there. She's trying to cover herself. She's laying there in front of a crowd in the temple at Jesus' feet, shaking and trembling and crying uncontrollably. And they said, "Master, it says in the Bible we should stone." She was caught in the very act. And Jesus said, "Okay, whoever doesn't have sin, you can cast the first stone." And pretty soon, he stooped down, writing in the dirt, and all of a sudden, people were leaving one time, one after another, till all of a sudden, everybody was gone. Jesus said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looks up, and remember, she's a mess. She is scared to death. She's waiting for the first boulder to be thrown on her head. And she looks around and she says, "No one, Lord." And do you remember what Jesus said to her? "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Friends, listen to what Jesus said to the woman. "Go get your husband." Why? Jesus wanted her to know. Jesus doesn't condemn anybody. Oh yeah, I know he hates sin, but not the sinner. He is trying to reach them. In fact, he reached this woman because he treated her with respect. And no one in Sychar or the surrounding area that knew her reputation treated her that way. Wow. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." By the way, we talked about the most famous and most quoted text, John 3:16. But do you remember what John 3:17 says? John 3:17 says this. I have to turn to it here. I want to read it. It says, "After for God so loved the world, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. God said, sent Jesus to save the world. He died on Calvary's cross. Friend, how are we to reach people? We are to reach people the way Jesus did, by being respectful and by being compassionate and not being judgmental or critical, even if they are of a horrible reputation. They're all God's children. We're all God's children. Oh, we got to listen to what Jesus said to the woman. He taught not only there's no place for prejudice, not only did he teach that Jesus and all Christians should treat each other equally, not only did he teach that he wants salvation for everyone, but he also taught, "I don't condemn you. I understand your sinful nature. But remember what he said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more." Wow. Well, the story isn't over yet. We got to move on to verse 19. Look what verse 19 says. "Then the woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain, Gerizim, the mountain of Gerizim, or in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, get this, friends, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is speaking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And friends, listen to what Jesus said to the woman, and what do we get out of this? Here's what we get out of this. After He told her the secrets of her life, her mind began to go to the judgment, the final judgment that was coming, and her guilt and her reputation. And she said, I know that the Messiah is coming, that you must be a prophet, excuse me. And conviction's really building. And then Jesus revealed to her the future. You see, when Christians sincerely come to Jesus, He reveals the future to them. Look what He revealed to him. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship, for salvation is of the Jews. By the way, what Jesus is saying to her, notice He said the day is coming when you won't be worshiping your way or in Jerusalem the Jews' way. Something's coming. He said, but the Messiah comes from Jerusalem, from the Jews. That's why He said salvation is from the Jews. Jesus was Jewish, and He came here to save us. But He said, then He went on to say, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. And those who worship Him in spirit and in truth, God is seeking. Friends, look, it says that God is looking for people that worship in spirit and in truth. Not just truth, not just spirit, but the two of them. And what exactly did He mean by that? In spirit, as He revealed the future. Well, we go one chapter back to Nicodemus, the preeminent Jewish Pharisee and a member of the Supreme Court of Israel. And he said, hey, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one could do the signs you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. The foundation principle of salvation was given to Nicodemus, whether he understood that then or not. You must be born again. That word in Greek is anothen. It means from above. You must be born of the Holy Spirit. And the Father is seeking for those who worship Him from the Holy Spirit that resides in their heart, following the truths that the Bible reveals. He is seeking those people today. And friends, I'm going to say this. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is the epitome of that. We have the truth. What we need is more of the Spirit. And we'll display more of the character of God, which isn't prejudice, which treats everyone equally, which desires the salvation of everyone, who studies prophecies and understand that the hour's coming, but now is, that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Friends, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. And He told the woman at the well before He even told His disciples and before they received that gift. Remember, He said, I want you to go back to the upper room and wait until the power comes upon you that God's going to send to you. And Jesus ascends and the Holy Spirit falls. When Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit fell. And so, friends, he opened the future to this immoral Samaritan woman. And he told her, I know your heart. In spite of your past, I know your heart. And I know you really desire for a change. And so I want you to know you must be born again. That's what he said to Nicodemus. That's the foundation principle of salvation. Friends, every single one of us must be born again. And we must teach people what that means to be born again, inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. It says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to be obedient to the truth. Well, there's one other point I want to make, or one other text I want to look at before I get to the final point. I want to read to you Revelation 14:12. You see, Revelation is about the last days on earth. It talks about the last people on earth. And I want you to see what Jesus said in Revelation about the last day people. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. By the way, a saint is someone who's forgiven sin, not perfect. Okay, a sinner is someone that never confessed their sin. That's what it is. But he's talking to his people now. Here is the patience of the saints. They keep the commandments of God. They have the faith of Jesus. The commandments is truth. And the faith of Jesus is the Spirit. And I remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus appeared in front of Peter, James, and John to Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And he said, this is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Do you remember what he said? Listen to him. Hear his words, spirit and in truth. Oh, friends, he revealed the future to this rejected, maligned, and ridiculed and mocked woman at the well. Well, there's one more thing he did that to me is even more outstanding, probably is the basis of this sermon. Let's go on with the story by looking at verse 25. It says this. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, and am he. I who speak to you am he. I am he. Friends, he never told the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He hadn't even outrightly said it to his disciples. The first time in the Bible, as far as I can tell from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that he specifically said he was the Messiah was to the woman at the well. Listen what Jesus said to her. Jesus accepts everybody. Jesus forgives everybody. Jesus wants us to know prophecy. That's part of the end time church. And he revealed it all to the woman. I who speak to thee, am he. And so, friends, listen to what Jesus said to the woman. and take to heart the lessons he taught. We'll look at what kind of effect did it have. Let's read on here. And at this point, the disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. See, that he was talking to a woman. Doesn't say Samaritan, just the fact he was talking to a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away in the city and said to the men, come and see a man who has told me all things that I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? And then they all went to the city and came to him. The evangelist, woman at the well. She left her water pot. By the way, that's expensive. She came there for water. She didn't even get the water. She went to the city and very intelligently said, I met a man who told me my whole past. And you guys ridicule me, mock me, make fun of me. He told me my past. He knew my past. Could this be the Christ? She didn't say, he's the Messiah, come on. They would have gone, we're not going to listen to you. But instead she said, could he be the Christ? And folks, the whole town ran out there. Isn't this story incredible? Listen to what Jesus said to her. The lessons he taught go deep into the very roots of Christianity, of who we should be like and what we should be like. Oh, can you see the Paradise Church, the Pahrump Church, a loving, accepting, caring place, the Oasis Church? That's what God's waiting for his people to reproduce his character in their lives. He's waiting for the Holy Spirit to transform us into the character of Jesus. So friends, spend time every day in your Bible. And when you read these stories, think and listen carefully, more deeply, and see these messages that are conveyed that when we just sort of read through them, we miss. For Jesus is waiting for his people to reflect his character, and I want to be one of them. I hope you do too. Oh, Father in heaven, I lift before you each one of us now. And I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would fill our hearts and minds, and that you would help us to look more fervently to you daily, so we can serve you and obey you and make you proud, and people will be drawn to you. Bless each one. Whatever burden they're carrying, lighten it, Lord. And also make it possible so we can soon meet together. So protect us all now, and thank you for hearing, never failing nor forsaking, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.